Hebrews 12 is where we'll be. But recently I was reading in Hebrews chapter 10, one of the verses there that speaks about the fact that the Hebrews had gladly taken the spoiling of their goods in order to follow the Lord, is basically the context of Hebrews 10, the section that I was reading. And the reason that they were able to do that, according to the scripture, is because they understood that in heaven they have an enduring substance. And that is something that we ought to meditate on. And that will help us in these days to go through the trials that God puts in our way in a good fashion, if we can remember that in heaven is where our inheritance lies. We need to keep that in mind and have that as our focus. So Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to start with, let's see here in my notes, I have it down as verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, as we begin there, by the way, let me say, happy Father's Day to each one of you dads here in the auditorium, as well as those watching via live stream. Happy Father's Day to you. This is a Father's Day message and one that focuses on fathers. And so I want to just say thank you for all that you do. And I would really like to impress upon your heart and your mind the importance of what you have done and the importance of what you continue to do. Fatherhood is one of the most important positions in all of God's economy. God places a lot of emphasis on your role in the life of children. And what you do is extremely important and will have more of an effect on your family and on the generations to come than you probably even realize, probably more than I realize, but God obviously realizes it. We are living, by the way, in a generation that is now reaping the harvest of fatherlessness that we have sown over the last several decades. All of what you see going on, you think about this. People talk about the need to retrain police. And I'm not saying that there aren't some things that the police could be reminded that they are supposed to do, and they're supposed to be reminded that they work for us and all the rest of the good things and abide by the law and all of that kind of stuff. But there's not a retraining of police needed. There's a retraining of society needed. I'll say that again. We don't need retraining of police. We need to retrain society. And you know whose job it was to train society in the first place? Dad. Dad's job is to teach his son and his daughter. How do you react when authority comes against you and does something that maybe even you feel like is unjust? What is your response supposed to be? How do you react in life? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you cope with things that don't go your way? And there was a need, there has been a need in our society for dads to lead the way. And what you're seeing when you see people throw fits is not so much that they're throwing fits about the things that are going on specifically in that moment, although that's what they're focusing on, but there's really a reaction based on this deep need that all of us have to have an authority figure in our life called dad or father to pat us on the back, to show us love unconditionally, and to teach us what we're supposed to do. If you're a lady, how to be a lady of God. If you're a man, how to be a man of God. We all have that need within us. And I'm thankful for the dad that I had who gave that to me. I'm thankful for the other dads that have done that with you. Some of you didn't have that privilege, but I'm glad that your heavenly Father is willing to be that. But all that to say, Dad, thank you. Thank you so much. Work hard. Continue to do what is right, and God will use you in a great way if you'll seek to honor the Lord with all that you do and you seek to raise your children right. The title of the message is Dad's Chastisement. Dad's Chastisement. Hebrews 12, verse 5, it says there, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." So again, the title of the message is Dad's Chastisement. The Bible speaks here about the fact that God chastises us, or we might think of it this way, He disciplines us. He brings the rod of correction to us to get us to do right. And we are commanded in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and then also again in Hebrews chapter 12, that we are to look at that chastisement in a certain way. And I want to share that with you this morning by way of this message, but let's pray before we get to that point. Here we go. Dear Lord, we come before you together as a group of believers, a body of believers. Lord, we need your help now as your word is being preached. Lord, I need your help as I preach it. I need your help to be able to preach it with authority and power and yet grace and skill at the same time. Lord, I need to be able to preach it in such a way that the message goes forth to your people, that they're helped by it, that it challenges each of us, that even our toes are stepped on. But Lord, also that at the same time, it wouldn't just be in the flesh. Lord, that it would be a situation and a time, an experience, Lord, where you are the one stepping on all of our toes, where you are the one encouraging us, patting us on the back, saying kind words to us and giving us the encouragement to go on and to continue doing what we have been doing. But Lord, these things need to be from you and not from me. Lord, it will be vanity and a waste of time if it's just Mike Weiss up here giving his opinion. But Lord, if it can be your word, if it's your truth that's given, then Lord, it will be a help and it will do the work that you've sent it to do. And so Lord, I'm asking you to show yourself miraculous here this morning and to preach through me to your people and to give all of us what we need this morning. Lord, if there's anybody here or watching via live stream that does not know you as their personal Savior, would you please help each one of them to understand that by faith in Christ, they can have an eternal home in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. I thank you that you can and that you will in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before in the kind of introduction to the message, I'm thankful for the father that God gave me. And I had a father who, and still continue to have my father, who at the time that I was young and growing up in his household was not afraid to chastise me or discipline me. That was never something that he was afraid to do. And I'm thankful for that. And I want you to think about, and I'll just share with you what my father did with me. Now, I'll say this. The things that I'm going to say about the way that my dad chastised me or disciplined me, it's going to sound like he did everything perfect. He would be the first one to tell you, if he were standing here this morning, that he did not do everything perfect. It's not as if every time he corrected us, every time he always had the perfect attitude or anything like that. So I don't want to give you a false impression. But I can tell you this, this is the majority of the way that he disciplined us. There may have been times where he wasn't right, but that was in the minority of times. The majority of times, he disciplined very, very well, and I've tried to learn from him. And here's what would happen when I was young and when I would do something wrong is, first of all, my dad would openly confront me with the problem and let me know exactly what he was going to deal with me about. My dad never was passive-aggressive, if you know what passive-aggressive is. The idea that he would just be mad at me on the side but not tell me what was wrong. He would confront me with the truth. Then the other thing that he would do is usually he'd pull me into his office, which of course used to be right in the foyer of this building here, or if we were at home, then it would be wherever in the living room or in his bedroom, and he would pull me in there, and he would talk to me about what I had done, and he would make me confess what I had done. So for instance, if I had, not that I ever did this, but if I was ever mean to my sister Mary, it's just an example. I don't think that ever happened. But if I was ever mean to Mary, I can remember one time, by the way. I'll just share this with you. This wasn't Mary, all right? I was mean to the dog. We had a dog when I was young. We got him when I was 4, and he was put to sleep when I was about 12. And the dog's name was Pierre. You remember Pierre, Darlene? Pierre. He was a French poodle. We named him Pierre. Now, he didn't look like the French poodle you see on the cartoons with the poofy hair and all that stuff. We didn't believe in those kind of haircuts, all right? But we gave him just a regular dog haircut. But Pierre was laying in the middle of the floor, and I don't know why I was in a bad mood. I was probably about 6, 7 years old. And I walked up, and I just kicked him. Bam! So I could, you know, instead of walking around him, I could just walk right through. You're a dog. I'm a 7-year-old boy. Get out of my way. Boom, kicked him. Not hard, but I kicked him. Well, my brother David was there, and Dave said, I'm telling Dad. No, Dave, don't tell Dad. Don't tell Dad. This was one of those times I got pulled into the office in Dad's house there, and he would make me confess what I had done. He would say, son, do you understand why you're going to be disciplined here? All right, son, tell me, why are you getting disciplined? Oh, Dad, because I showed cruelty to the dog when I should show kindness to the dog. I took out my frustration on an innocent being rather than dealing with my frustration in a godly way. Something like that he would make me say, and he would have me understand what I had done. And then after that, listen, he would paddle me with a good old-fashioned paddle. We had one of those in our home, a good old-fashioned paddle. It rested on top of the refrigerator. And sometimes Dad would say, Mike, go get the paddle. That was the worst part. Not only was I going to get disciplined, I had to bring the tool to Dad. And I'd have to go bring it, and he'd take me over his knee, or if in most of the cases it was over the bed, and he'd have me put my hands on the bed, and he'd swat me 3 or 4 times, and it would sting, but listen, he never bruised me. He didn't beat on me. He never took a belt and just wailed on me in anger. I never, ever, ever remember that happening. Now, maybe it did, and I just don't remember, but all of the times that I can remember being disciplined by Dad, it was always controlled. It was always with care and tenderness in him, and there was never any marks on me or anything else. But it did hurt. Then after that, he would always get down to my level, and he would hug me and show me love. He'd kiss me on the cheek and remind me of how much he loved me. Then after that, he would do this. He would pray with me. And he'd say, son, we need to pray and ask God to help you not to do that in the future. And I can remember him praying with me, and he would pray first, and then he would have me pray, and then he'd pray again. And he would pray himself and say something to this effect, God, I thank you for my son. I thank you for the love that I have for him and he has for me. And Lord, he did wrong, and I want you to forgive him. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the discipline that I gave to him right now to teach him and to all those kind of things. And then he'd have me pray and confess my sin, not to Dad, but to God, because I had sinned not against Dad or Pierre. I'd really sinned against God. And then he'd hug me again, and that was that. And you know, I always left knowing my dad loves me. My dad wouldn't bring it up again. It wasn't dragging me through the mud of guilt again about it. It was done. It had been disciplined. The guilt was gone. I had paid the fine for the crime, quote unquote, that I had done. And I'd go on my way, and I would usually have a smile on my face, and Dad and I would be joyful and in a good relationship once again. It was a wonderful, beautiful experience, Dad's chastisement. Now, sometimes if the infraction wasn't bad enough that it deserved what you would call corporal punishment, my dad would just rebuke me, and he was not afraid to call me out and rebuke me when I needed to hear it. Dad was not worried about too much about being a friend to me. And by the way, I see that as a kind of a pattern today, and I tend to fall into it probably a little bit too much as well. And we need to remember that God has not called us to be our children's best friend, although we ought to be friendly with them. God has called us to be their father. And friendship is certainly a part of that, but it's not the main part. And I'm glad my dad wasn't afraid to maybe even strain our friendship a little bit by getting into my face figuratively, sometimes literally, and rebuking me with strong words, with words that were even said in a strong voice. Now, I say all that not just to praise my dad and lift him up on Father's Day, although I like to do those things. But you know, I say all that because it makes me think of God and God's chastisement. We just read here in Hebrews 12 that we're not to despise the chastisement of the Lord. And I believe that there are 3 conclusions that we should come to about God's chastisement based on these verses. And I believe that the example that my earthly father gave me for chastisement is the same way that my heavenly father would chastise me and does. And let me share with you the three conclusions that we can come to regarding God's chastisement based on Hebrews 12. The first conclusion that we should come to is that God's chastisement is not punishment. Let me say that again. God's chastisement is not punishment. It is chastisement. There is a difference. Look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible tells us there, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, to try to get us to be something that would please them. But he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why God chastises us. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It is important and imperative for you and me to remember that when God chastises us, it is not punishment. And we as Christians many times have bought into many of the world's ways of thinking regarding discipline. And sometimes even the way that we discipline our children is wrong in that we are telling them with subconscious or subliminal messages, and sometimes even with absolute words, we tell them, you've done the crime, therefore you need to be punished. I'm glad God does not do that with you and me. And here's why God does not do that with you and me. Because Jesus already took my punishment on the cross. And if you don't understand that, you have a very shallow view of salvation. Because it's not just that God is letting me into heaven because Jesus did just barely enough to let me get into heaven, and then God says, all right, I'll let the other stuff go. No. When Jesus died on the cross, as it says in Romans chapter 5, it was much more that God was paying for my sin. Jesus completely took all of the wrath of God for me. Do I deserve God's wrath and punishment? Yes. But Jesus took it in my place. It's already been paid for. And now I no longer have to fear punishment by God. You did this, therefore I'm gonna get you. Rather, what God does is he chastises. And you know the difference between punishment and chastisement? Punishment is you have to pay for your crime. Chastisement is you're going to be corrected so that you can get back onto the right way and never do that again. That's the difference. And I'm glad that God does not punish me. He chastises me. And he does the same with you. And that is a conclusion that we need to come to based on these verses. God does not punish us for his pleasure. Jesus already took that punishment for us. Rather, God disciplines us or chastises us for our profit, that we might grow. And by the way, that's real love, and we'll talk about that in a minute. May I say, Dad, that when you fail to chastise your children, you know that you're actually withholding from them many of the blessings that God wants to give them in life? It may be hard to see in the moment, but when you withhold the chastisement that they need, you're withholding from them love that they need. Again, look around at society. We're seeing an epidemic, a pandemic around the world of fatherlessness. And young men especially, but young ladies also, that are growing up frustrated and angry, that have been given every blessing this world can afford, many of them. And yet they're angry on the inside. They're upset about something, and many of them, they don't even realize that part of it is because not only did they not have a relationship with God, but they were never truly loved by the person that God placed in their life to love them as he would love them, which was their father. They were never chastised, never taught to be able to handle those emotions that we all have when things don't go our way. How do you deal with frustration? How do you deal with things that go against you in life? How do you deal with passions that are part of your human nature but that are made to be kept under control? How do you deal with that? That's Dad's job, and chastisement is part of teaching that. It's important for us to remember chastisement is for our good. Let me give you the second conclusion that we need to come to from Hebrews chapter 12 about God's chastisement. The second one is this, that God's chastisement is God's love. God's chastisement is not punishment. That was number one. Number two, God's chastisement is God's love. Look at verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I love the fact that in verse number 6, the verbs there are love, chasten, scourge, and receive. And each one of those verbs is in the tense. That means it's not a one-time thing. It is a continuous action that goes on. Whenever you see in your Old English King James Bible a verb that ends in eth, the th ending, that means it's a continuous action. So, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That means when God loves you, it's a continual love, and that means a continuing chastening. It's not a one-time thing, and then it's done. And then it talks about scourging. That has the idea of corporal punishment, right? Every son whom he receiveth, it's a receiving. It's a continual thing. God is always receiving you. And I love that about God. And I love that about my earthly father as well, that when I was disciplined, it was never, I never, ever, ever remember a time where my earthly father, when I did something wrong, rejected me and told me to get away. When I did wrong, and believe me, I did some things that I'm ashamed of. I was kicked out of the Christian school twice. It's okay to laugh, by the way. That was a little bit funny. You, Pastor, you? The saint that you are? Yeah. Listen, twice. I'm thankful that during those times when I was going through some major issues in my life, my dad never rejected me. It was always he pulled me closer, and he dealt with it. I've told you this before, but the last spanking I ever got in my life, I was 17 years old. He was drawing me in, and yes, he dealt with problems. It was not just we're going to ignore your problems and pretend they don't exist. He dealt with them, but it was never rejection. It was always pulling you closer. Let's get back into fellowship, son. You know, my Heavenly Father does the exact same thing. When he disciplines me, it's love. He's trying to draw me to himself. It's, son, you're out of fellowship with me. Let's get you back into fellowship with me. And I'm so thankful that that's what he does. He receives me. Now, here's some things about God's chastisement being God's love. We sometimes buy into the world's warped idea of love, where if I love my child or if I love another individual, I will allow them to indulge in every desire and whim that they might have. That is not love. Love is not allowing someone to do anything and everything that they want. So when the world says, love is love, well, duh. But the love you're talking about is not real love. God's love means that he's not going to let us do whatever we want. He's going to cause us to do what is right. You see, here's what God knows. God knows that sin kills. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 6. Keep your place in Hebrews 12. But God knows that sin kills. Romans chapter 6, verse number 20. Please note with me what the Bible tells us about sin. And mark it down, friends. This is truth. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what the quote-unquote experts have as their opinion. This is the one true expert giving us his opinion and his truth about what sin does. Romans 6 and verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to remember that God knows the truth, that sin kills. So when he chastises, it's his love. Because he knows that sin kills us, first of all, spiritually. The reason that all of us as human beings deserve God's wrath is because sin kills. That's really death, being under God's wrath. It kills us spiritually, but it doesn't just kill us spiritually. Listen, friends, sin kills emotionally. You want to make yourself miserable, just do something you're not supposed to do. Do something that you know is wrong. You'll be miserable. And again, we've experienced that in our own lives. We see it in our society. And God does not want you to be miserable. God wants you to be happy. And so He wants you to stay away from sin. So He chastises you to keep you away from that. It not only kills spiritually and emotionally, sin kills relationally. In other words, sin destroys relationships. Boy, time and time and time again, we see that all around us. We experience it in our lives. Sin kills relationships. And you know that so much of our life is based on relationships, isn't it? It's hard to have a good life without good relationships. Well, God knows that what kills relationships is sin. And so He chastises us to keep us away from sin. God also knows that righteousness brings life. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. We want to be over there quickly. Proverbs chapter number 3. We read some of the verses in Proverbs for our scripture reading this morning, but we're going to read some other verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Notice what it says starting at verse number 1 in Proverbs 3, and think about righteousness and how righteousness brings life. Proverbs 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." In other words, this is doing righteousness. Verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee," the commandments and the law of God. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In other words, do good. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." We could go on, and I would encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. But basically what that's saying is this: if you'll follow God's commandments, if you'll live righteously, you'll have health and blessing. It's God's word. It's God's promise. And you know that God wants you to have health. God wants you to have blessing. God wants you to have an enjoyable life, a life with laughter and true joy. Even in the midst of all that we're seeing around us and the opportunity for depression, and some people are falling into deep depression in these times, that's not God's will for you. And the way that God wants to keep you out of that is He chastises you when you do wrong, and He tries to get you to do right. The other thing that we need to recognize about God's chastisement being God's love is that a lack of the Father's chastisement shows a lack of relationship. It said that in Hebrews chapter 12, right? If you are not chastised, then are ye bastards and not sons. That word just simply means you're an illegitimate child. You're there in the household, but you don't belong there. And if we can look in our life and say, you know, when I do wrong, God never deals with me about that. Yeah, I can get away with it. I get caught. I don't get caught. I don't have an overly great sense of guilt. I just go on and I can be content in my wickedness. Then I would, if I were you, greatly take the time to check on my salvation and be sure that I have faith in Christ. Because sonship means chastisement. And the way that we become a child of God is, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12, to receive Jesus by believing on Him. To believe on Him, in other words, to give Him our heart and our life, to understand what God says about Him and how He is the Savior of the world, how He's the one who came and died in your place, and to put your trust in Him. God calls it in John 1:12, receiving Him. And when we receive Him in that way, by faith, then what happens is we are given the power to become the sons of God. And then God will begin to discipline you and chastise you. So we've seen that God's chastisement is not punishment. We've seen that God's chastisement is God's love. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. And the third and final conclusion that we should come to regarding God's chastisement is that our reaction to God's chastisement is important. then what we do with God's chastisement is really an issue. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It is important what we do with the chastisement. In verses 5 through 8, it told us, specifically in verse 5, that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. That means we're not to look down upon it as if it were not important. Understand that when God disciplines you, that is an act of love. Those of you who are adults here in the auditorium or maybe watching via live stream, if your parents disciplined you in a proper way, I would say this with complete assurance that I bet every one of you are thankful for every one of those times where your dad applied the paddle to the seat of knowledge. I've never met anybody who was not abused. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about whose parents were strict disciplinarians in love and care and kindness. Sure, they weren't perfect, but they did their best. I haven't met anyone who said, boy, I wish they never would have done that. I've met a lot of people who even said, you know, my dad was probably even a little harder than he should have been, but I'm sure glad he was. You know, it all depends on how you look at it. Don't despise it. Don't look at it as something that, I wish God wouldn't do that. No, that's God's love. And in the verses that we just read, we got to be careful that we don't allow when we're chastised for us to get a bad attitude. That's what it means when you're hands hang down, when you have feeble knees. You ever watch maybe a teenager or a young teenager when they get disciplined? You ever watched and you can see that they have a bad attitude about it? Then here's what you know. The chastisement didn't work. There's going to be more chastisement needed in the future. And parents, let me remind you of that. Work on your kids' attitudes. It's not okay for them to have a bad attitude. It is not okay. Even if they do what you tell them, if they have a bad attitude, then it is not right because the heart has not been dealt with. And we're not trying to just deal with the actions, we're trying to deal with the heart. And you know, if you and I have a bad attitude and a lamenting attitude and a sour attitude when God disciplines us, then that shows that our heart hasn't been dealt with. And we need to put emphasis on how we react. Here's the other thing that it says about it in verse number 5. Not only should we not despise it, but it says this. It says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The fainting means this. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't allow God's discipline of you, God's chastisement, to cause you to just throw up your hands and say, that's it. It'll never be enough. It'll never end. I'm just going to quit and go and do my own thing. No, don't allow that to happen because recognize that God is bringing you to a place where you can flourish and enjoy the benefits of holiness. Don't allow Satan to cause you to be discouraged and for you to faint because God wants to use that to make you into the Christian that you ought to be. Your reaction to God's chastisement is important. You need to lift up the hands which hang down. Lift up the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Make sure that you follow peace with all men and go forward in the path that God is making for you. Now, friends, with all that said, let me encourage you on this Father's Day to take the time to thank your Heavenly Father for the discipline that He gives you, for the way that He chastises you. Take just a little bit of a time to pick up the phone to heaven called prayer. And just dial up your Heavenly Father and say, Father, thank you for every single time you've disciplined me. Thank you for not letting me get away with sin. Thank you for bringing hard things into my life so that I remember that holiness brings life and sin brings death. Lord, thank you so much for that. I would encourage you to do that. I would also encourage you to look at your life today and ask yourself this question. Does God chastise me? Or am I able to just sin without any repercussions? Am I able to just go on in life and there's no real sorrow over it, there's no brokenness over it, there's no discipline over it? I can just go on and I can do whatever I want, nobody ever finds out, and all goes on as normal. It doesn't seem like God even really notices. And friends, what that means, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is that you're not a son of God, you're not a daughter of God. And what you need to do is call out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and beg Him to have mercy on you and to grant you that gift of salvation, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, He'll gladly hear, and then be ready. He's going to start molding you into the Christian that you ought to be. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach this, Your Word, to Your people. I thank You for the truth that You love us and that You chastise those whom You love. I thank You that You haven't left us alone, that You haven't left us to walk in our sin. Lord, that You've dealt with us about our sin, and Lord, I pray that You would even do that even more. We submit ourselves to You, that You would guide us and direct us, that You would mold us and make us, that You would discipline us in every way that we need it. Now, Lord, I pray if there's somebody here in the auditorium or maybe somebody watching via live stream that cannot say with all assurance that they are Your son or daughter, they cannot say with all assurance that they have eternal life, that they've believed on Jesus Christ and been born into Your family, then I pray that You would, Lord, impress that upon their heart and convict them of their need to call out on You, give them understanding and repentance. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would even allow us to be able to see them come to know You and get that dealt with today. Lord, I pray that You would. I'm leaving those things up to You. I cannot make these changes, but I know You can, and I ask that You would in Jesus' name.